Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Josh Gunter now.
Hear for yourself. Hear for yourself. I mean, then the grandson had to hear for himself. It didn't matter what grandma told him. He believed what grandma said, but now it's time to hear for myself from what God wants to speak to me. Man, that is just absolutely phenomenal. And God is here today. You know, I was going to say this towards the end, but I'm going to say it right now. We don't know what we don't know. But God knows what we don't know. That's why we have to be walking in such an intimacy with God that whenever we're in an area or we're in a situation and we don't know what's going to happen, we're in a place where we can receive from the Lord when He wants to speak to us, whenever, so that we can be ready. All right, I'm ready for tonight. I'm going to pray just so I can get in the message, and I'm all hyped up after Sister Lockwood gave her testimony. Father God, right now, I thank you for the word that was already spoken. God, in 1 Corinthians, you said some have a prophecy, some have a hymn, some have a message, and I thank you for Sister Lockwood and this amazing word that she gave this morning. And I pray that you would just continue to bless her grandson and be with her family. And I know you hear the prayers that she sends before your throne over her family. And I pray not only for her family, but each and every one of us in here tonight, that we would walk in such an intimacy with your Spirit that we can receive from you at any moment and be ready to do the things that you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, that just goes on to prove that God doesn't only speak to us through the Bible. Now, God does speak to us through the Bible. And this is the accurate 100% Word of God. It is without error, and we can stand on it, and we can stand firm on it. But it's not the only way God can speak to us. And there are a lot of people, there are a lot of preachers who preach that. That God doesn't speak to His people individually, that it's only through the Scripture. And if that was true, then that story right there wouldn't have happened. If that story was true, because I never read in 2 Timothy where God says, stop the military vehicle. You see, that didn't come from the Word of God. That came from the Word of God by the Spirit of God, and He spoke to us. See, we're not living in the Old Covenant anymore where the veil is still put together and we only hear from God once a year and only one high priest can go behind the veil and hear from the Lord. But that veil's been torn. We're under a new covenant, meaning the Spirit of God. And you know, we're all about that here at this church. We're all about that. So God desires to have such an intimacy with us that He can speak to us in individual situations. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 14, all throughout the Acts, all throughout the New Testament, Scripture reveals to us that He wants to speak to specific people at specific times for specific reasons. And I believe, and that's what we're talking about today, hearing from the Lord for ourselves. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of John chapter 4. And it's kind of like what Pastor Ashley and Keith was speaking about last week, the security, the operation security or whatever. We always have to be on guard. We always have to be out. And just like Sister Lockwood was saying, we got to be in a place to where if God tells you, go pick your kids up from school, there's a reason. If God says, it's time for you to leave the mall, there's a reason. If God says it's time for you to do something, it's time to do it. We need to be in a place where we can hear from God. But here's what so many people do. We so often just want to hear, we want somebody else to hear from God and then tell us. And me growing up, I remember praying this prayer. I don't know why I pray this prayer. Looking back, I really just wish I hadn't even prayed this prayer. And then I would have prayed the right way in the moment. But I remember praying, God, give somebody a word of knowledge for me. I mean, has anybody ever, like, I don't know how to receive from God, so just give somebody else a word of knowledge for me. Give somebody else a word for me. Speak to somebody else so that they can come speak to me about the situation. And I realized that that's the wrong way to pray. I started praying, give me a word of knowledge. Father, speak to my spirit so that I know what to do. I don't need somebody else to come tell me and say, this is exactly what you need to do in this situation. I need to hear from you because this is a situation that isn't right or wrong situation. This is a situation where I just need to know what your will is for my life, not my parents' will, not my grandfather's will, but your will for my life. I need to hear from you, God. And here in this story, most of us know this situation in chapter 4, the Samaritan woman at the well. It's one of the most well-known encounters Jesus had in the book of John. It's preached on all the time, the woman in Samaria, the Samaritan woman at the well. We hear about it all the time. But there's a piece of scripture in here that I feel like we skim over a lot. We look, and I believe it's one of the most important truths in this scripture. And so that's what I want to look at today. Starting verse 1. It says, now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself didn't baptize but only the disciples, he left Judea and departed again from Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. Verse 5, so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour, that's about 12 p.m., around noon. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And so right here, Jesus is breaking two cultural barriers. I love Jesus because Jesus came in and just changed things up. And he revealed to us how the kingdom of heaven really operates. God doesn't just speak to the men. God doesn't just speak to the Jews. But he's right here, he's breaking two cultural barriers. One, Jews didn't hang out with Samaritans. Jews didn't speak to Samaritans, to a Samaritan because they were crossbred. You know, they weren't full-blood Jewish. They were the Jews that intermingled with some of the other pagan cultures, things like that. And so the Jews looked down on them. And at this point, Jesus, a Jew, is speaking to a Samaritan. Not only that, men didn't really interact with women. Women weren't of high standing in society in that day. And Jesus is breaking through that time. So this woman is amazed already. How are you, a Jewish man, speaking to me, a Samaritan woman? Then Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? So she didn't understand that he was speaking in spiritual terms. Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well, and he drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. So now what she's saying is, you can't give me living water from this well. Saying that our father Jacob's dead. He drank from it. The livestock drank from it. His sons drank from it, and they're not alive. Where are you going to get this water from? And Jesus said, everyone who drinks the water of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him, he will never thirst again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of living water welling. Hang on, let me just read it word for word instead of putting my own interpretation. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. In Scripture, water all throughout the Bible represents the Holy Spirit. It represents the Spirit of God. And here Jesus is saying, ask me and I'll give you the Spirit of God. And it'll be like a well inside of you swelling up and overflowing. It'll be a spring of living water that won't run dry. But she still didn't understand it. She's still starting to argue. She doesn't understand what's going on. And she says, sir, give me this water so that I will never be thirsty again. I don't have to come back to draw water. It just wasn't dawning on her. I feel like Jesus is having a conversation with me. Because sometimes it just doesn't click on me right away. It's like it takes a little bit. I'm nodding, but there's nobody home. Yeah, I don't like water. I'd rather be drinking some juice or something like that. I don't like to drink water. My wife's always getting on to me. You need to drink more water. You need to drink more water. Valerie Swearingen's always getting on to me. You need to drink more water. Your lips are dry. You're dehydrated. Whatever. This would have been my response too. Yeah, give me a drink so I can just drink wine from here on out and I'll be good. Okay, this is Bible days. That's what it was said back then. I'm not saying it today. But anyway, I don't want to drink water. Give me the drink of this water. And Jesus is still saying, okay, this isn't working. I'm trying to open her eyes here to see the spiritual side, the supernatural that I'm trying to say. Verse 16, he said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus says, "You're right in saying you don't have a husband." Now her eyes are starting to be opened a little bit. She's like, uh-oh, what's he about to say next? He says, "You've had 5 husbands, and the one you're with now, he isn't even your husband." Somebody say, uh-oh. "What you have said is true." And this woman says, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." Yep. Our fathers worshipped, and then now she's like, okay, let's quit talking about the whole husband situation. Let's start talking about some spiritual things. Let's forget about the water and the well and the husbands. Let's go back. Let's get spiritual. She said, "Our father worshipped on this mountain, but you say that it's in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." And Jesus, first off, Jesus never said that to her. But she said, "Here's what you're saying. You're saying that we're supposed to go to Jerusalem." He said, "Okay, I didn't say that." "Woman, believe me," he said, "the hour is coming." Give me just a second. I know I'm not that old. "The hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem you will worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. When he comes, he'll tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Now, this really is a huge deal in Scripture that, and this isn't what I'm talking about tonight, but Jesus didn't go around telling people, "I'm the Messiah." He didn't go around telling people that, "I'm the Christ." In fact, whenever demons said, "This is the Son of God," he made them shut up. He said, "Don't be saying that. Don't be spreading that around." Whenever he would heal somebody, they would start declaring, he must be the Messiah. He must be the Christ. He's like, "No, shh, don't tell anybody that." But Jesus chose this outcast, this woman, this Samaritan woman, says, "I'm going to speak to her. And I'm going to say, I'm the Messiah." He's letting her in on a little secret that he's not telling the world yet. "I am the Christ. I am the one to come." And then it goes on to say, verse 27, just a few more verses. "Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, 'What do you seek?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, 'Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?' So they went out of the town to see him, and they were coming to him." This just now, my eyes just now saw this, I guess. So this, again, isn't part of the sermon. But even the disciples marveled. He's speaking to her. See, God wants to speak to you if you're willing to listen. This woman was willing to listen, and Jesus spoke to her, and the disciples were like, "Wow, Jesus is speaking to this woman." Anyway, that's the extra tidbit. No charge or anything like that. But we read this, and it's an amazing story. It's God's obviously doing a great thing in this woman's life. She encountered Jesus. If we were to put this in today's terms, I got saved. I mean, I encountered Jesus. I accept him. I have accepted him as the Christ, as the Messiah. I encountered I had a powerful meeting with the Lord. That's what happened to this woman here. And then she goes back home into the village there in Samaria, and she starts telling everybody, "This man is from God. This man told me all that I ever did." You know, and the people in town knew what woman this was. Knew that this was the woman who'd been with that man and that man and that man, and right now she's with, you know, that man, not even her husband. Gossip had already came around, but she's like, "No, I'm telling you, something is about this. So there's something about this man named Jesus. I think he may be the Christ." And so they go out, and here's the passage that we just read through like it's nothing, and we're like, okay, the story's over. A lot of people got saved. It's a great story. That's not it. Let's skip down to verse 39. The disciples, they were kind of did their little talk, things like that. And then skip to verse 39. The Bible says that many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So going step by step here, a bunch of people heard the testimony and believed. Kind of like Sister Lockwood's grandson. believed what God had spoken to her. He believed that. Okay? Keep going, verse 40. So when the Samaritans, I don't know why I'm having trouble with that. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." Okay, I'm going to read that again. Yep, yep. And at the end of it, everybody go, "Oh, amen. That's right." Okay, let's do this again. "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." Amen. All right. We heard for ourselves. Now, I remember being, whenever I first started preaching, I'm still young, but a few years ago when I first started, I would watch YouTube videos, and I'd be watching these preachers, and I'd be like, it is just so easy to hear these guys' sermons and do it. Man, this is going to be an easy job. I can do this. God, you call me to preach. I can listen to these guys. And I would listen to these powerful men of God who heard from the Lord. And I'd be like, man, that is so good. And I would receive from what they had received from God. And I would try to preach it. But you know, every time I tried to preach it, it was powerless. It was just like, I mean, the words were good, but it didn't have near as much power coming from me. Why is that? Because I didn't receive that for myself. Because I didn't hear that for myself. See, I believed what he said, but I didn't spend the time in prayer and seeking. I didn't draw to God. I drew to YouTube, watched a video, tried to preach it, and it was powerless. And whenever I realized that I can hear from, look, those guys aren't any different from me. The Bible says that God's no respecter of person, so I'm going to start seeking the Lord as I know they have, because I know they received from God. That was awesome. And then I'm going to get down on my knees and say, God, I need to hear from you. I need to receive for myself. I need to hear for myself. And then after I started doing that, I'm still not saying that I'm a good preacher, but as I started doing that, I started seeing new results. I started seeing some lives change. I started seeing some youth change, you know, things like that. And I was just amazed. But it was all because I received for myself. Yeah. And so many Christians, I'm not saying that it's wrong to listen to podcasts. I listen to podcasts. I still watch YouTube and awesome men of God preach and things like that. Nothing's wrong with that. In fact, I encourage you, listen to men of God who have received from the Lord. But there comes a point in time where you've got to be able to hear from God. Right. See, Alec wasn't saved because he believed grandma. He was saved because he believed grandma, and then he heard from God himself. Right. He received from the Lord himself. Right. Man. Got to get back to my notes. Here's my question to you. Do you believe because you've heard for yourself? Or are you living a life and your relationship with God is hanging on what someone else has said? Is everything that you and God share, the relationship that you have with the Father, is it because you have encountered a... Nothing's wrong with believing because of somebody else's testimony. In fact, Jesus said that we'll be more blessed because we believe because of the words of the apostles than actually seeing for ourselves. But see, there's that living water, that we've got to encounter that water, we've got to encounter it ourselves rather than just believe. The Bible says in James that even the demons believe. That's not good enough. People who say they don't believe, they believe. People who cuss God, people who deny who God is, a lot of them in their heart do believe there's a God. But that's not good enough. See, we've got to have this encounter with God. What's so cool about God, he wants that intimate, personal relationship with us. Sister Lockwood heard directly from God. She spoke to her grandson. He believed, but then he heard for himself. He couldn't have survived if he hadn't listened to God. There's two principles I want to talk real quickly. I want to talk about in hearing for yourself. Receiving from God for yourself. Two of them. Drawing and obeying. It's real simple. God speaks to me in simple ways because I got a simple mind, and that's the way I preach, simple. And so it's pretty easy. You're not ever going to see me do a 20-step sermon, 20-point thing. I try to keep it two or three. Drawing and obeying. First, why did these, you know, some people in Samaria, they stayed there. They stayed in the village. But some of them came out. And those are the ones who encountered Jesus and who had said at the end of the day, I don't believe just because the woman said, I believe because I've heard the voice of God. See, they went out. The Bible says in verse 40, so when the Samaritans came to him, they were drawing towards Jesus. They were going towards him. The Bible says in James 4:8, what? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The Bible doesn't say, sit there and God's just going to draw towards you. That's just not the way it works. That's what we want a lot of times. We want God just to, we want a Paul experience. Not everybody's as privileged as Paul. Okay, Paul was going around killing Christians. Okay, he was living a pretty crazy life and Jesus just, boom, showed up on the scene. That would be amazing. And if you were out killing Christians, God may do that. Okay, but we're not doing that today. All right, and don't test it. If you want God just to show up and like blind you for a few days, go around, kill some Christians. Maybe he'll show up that way. I don't know. But do it in a different town because I like the people here. And they're packing, so be careful. It'd be dangerous to be Paul in this church. Anyway, be a bad day. So, I'm sorry. Well, I'm going to switch gears here. We've got to draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. Turn to Luke chapter 15. As we're getting the giggles out. Luke chapter 15. The religious leaders got really mad at a lot of people, mainly Jesus. Got mad at Jesus for hanging out with sinners, for prostitutes, drunks, a lot of wild people Jesus actually spoke to, which is something that they never did. If they spoke about him, if they spoke to him, it was in a about way. It wasn't in a, hey, you need to come to Tabernacle with me. We would love to see you at Tabernacle this weekend. It wasn't that way. It was, thank God I'm not like this person. And Jesus here, in the first couple chapters, that's what's going on. Jesus is hanging out with these sinners, and these Pharisees are getting really mad. But check this out. The Bible says, now the tax collectors, verse 1 and 2, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. The reason why Jesus hung out with those people, the reason why he hung out with the drunks and the tax collectors, the prostitutes, whatever you want to say, isn't because they were just off living in their sin. Obviously, he knew they were sick. They needed a Savior. But we look over this scripture. The Bible says they were all drawing near to him. See, the Pharisees and Sadducees weren't drawing near to Jesus. They loved the big banquets. They loved to have that place of honor. They wanted Jesus so bad because Jesus was so popular to throw a banquet and eat with them and make them look really good and make them look like, oh, these are your Sadducees. These are your Pharisees. Honor them. You should respect them. And instead, he said, you're a bunch of vipers. You're a snake. You're a hypocrite. Because they weren't drawing near to Jesus. What's going on here? These drunks, these tax collectors, whatever you want to say, Jesus wasn't out getting drunk with them. Jesus wasn't out fooling around with the fornicators. What was going on, these fornicators says, I would rather draw near to Jesus than go around and get paid for doing this act. The tax collector said, I would rather draw near to Jesus right now than to go and steal some money. The Bible says they were all drawing near to him, and because of that, Jesus was drawing near to them. Draw, and he'll draw back. See, people get mad whenever they look, man, how come God speaks to Sister Lockwood? What's your first name? I keep calling you Sister. Your name, first name's Sister right now. You said you're an AG. I grew up AG. We call each other brother and sister all the time. Sister Lockwood. Why does God speak to somebody like Sister Lockwood, like Brenda, but he doesn't speak to me? Okay, are you being a Pharisee here? Because I know that Brenda draws near to God. See, the Pharisees here are saying, I don't want God, Jesus spending time with them. But they weren't drawing. If we want to hear for ourselves, if you want to hear for yourself, Simple. Draw.
That's right.
Start seeking the Lord in all that you do. The Bible says if you ask, you'll receive. If you knock, the door will be open. Here's what we do. Nah, nobody's home. Like, I remember going to grandma's house, and grandma now keeps the door locked, that my grandpa's passed away, and I remember going to her house, and you had to do that. Either she didn't hear you, she was in the back room, but I'm going to knock till I know she's home, and I know she's got pie. I know she's got a bunch of chips on. My grandma Malloy was, her house is my favorite place to go. Because on her refrigerator, I'm telling you, 20 bags of chips were on her refrigerator. And chips are my favorite. I love them. They're all up there. And I was getting them because I wanted some chips. But if I just knocked once, grandma wasn't going to hear. Grandma wasn't going to come to the door. And I was going to leave chipless. When it comes to God, you start banging on heaven's door. I'm getting my blessing. I'm getting my grandson will be protected. I'm going to speak over his life every day. Come on. I'm going to knock, and I'm going to receive because I'm going to draw, because the Word of God doesn't say be lazy and he's going to show up. The Word of God says that if you draw, he will draw back. We've got to learn how to draw. Exodus, last scripture I want to talk about. What time is it? All right, we're good. Exodus chapter 20. We got a lot of lazy Christians that believe and they're not willing to go out of Samaria. A lot of Christians that are saying, I'm okay with just believing what Pastor Ashley says. I'm okay with just believing what Josh says. I'm okay in just believing that. Well, thank God you're in a church that at least the pastors teach the Word of God, and what they're preaching is good, but that's not good enough. Not if you want to hear for yourself. Not if you want that living water springing up inside of you like a well. Have you ever seen a spring where the water's just gushing? It's like it's coming out of nowhere. Have you ever seen that where it's just like coming out of the wall, and it just creates this whole creek? That's the way the Holy Spirit is inside of us. It could just, inside of you, that water can just come out and you can speak words. You can be someone who says, I got a word from God, and go up to somebody and say, the Lord wants me to tell you this. And then whenever that person is in a situation, they can remember what you say. And whenever they receive that from the Lord, grandma told me to do this. Brother so-and-so told me to do this. Dave told me this. It's because the Spirit of the Lord swelling up inside of us. Here's where the American church is though. Moses was that man. Moses, he heard from God. He encountered the Lord. He faced his face was so it just glow. It was glowing. He didn't just have a glowing personality. He actually had a pretty crummy personality if you read about Moses. But he spent so much time with God that his face would literally glow, and he put a veil on it. The Bible says how much more now, the new covenant that's not veiled. How much more will that glory show? But Moses would encounter Jesus, or encounter God, the glory. And a lot of times the cloud, the Shekinah glory. I don't know if you've ever done any study on the Shekinah glory. If you haven't, do it. It's good. Talk about the presence of God that's just powerful and entering into that presence of God. Well, Moses did that, and Israel didn't. A lot of times Israel would just sit back and watch what Moses would do. Let me read verse 18. Verse 18 says, now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off. And here's what they said to Moses. I say this every time there's something really sad to me in Scripture, but I believe this is one of the saddest pieces of Scripture in the Bible. It says, they said to Moses, you speak to us and we will listen. Well, that sounds pretty good, Josh. What's wrong about that? Look at the next thing. But do not let God speak to us, lest we die. Moses said to the people, do not fear. Don't be afraid. For God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, so that you may not sin. He's just saying, look, all this stuff is just so that you would honor God. Don't be scared about this. This is just so God can show himself powerful. Don't be scared of this. And still they said, or verse 21 says, the people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. Man, how sad. All these people sitting back says, we're not going over there where God is. It's too scary. I don't want to be a part of that. That's where God, Moses, you go on in. You hear from God and you come out and you tell us. If you keep reading, this is the same generation that died and never got into the promised land. They said, no, we don't want to be out there where God is. I don't want to go into that place and that situation where he is. What if they said, I hate saying that, well, if I was Adam, I wouldn't have sinned, or if I was this, but I have a feeling like if I was there and Moses was walking off, I would have stand. I might have been in the back, who knows. You don't want to go? I am coming with you, Moses. I wish so bad that somebody would have said, I'm coming with you. I want to get in that place where God is dwelling because I want to hear from God. I don't know if I believe you, Moses. I got to know for myself. I want to encounter for myself. The Bible says that Joshua used to sit outside the tent. And I can just see him sitting here like this. I can't wait till Moses gets out. Everybody else would go to their own tent, but not Joshua. He stood right there by the tent, and he was waiting because he just wanted to get into that place where God was. And it was he that led the people into the promised land. Yep. There was a drawing, but so many people, like Israel, say, I'm not drawing. I'm just going to go to church. I'm going to hear the pastor. Yep. That's good enough for me. Yep. You can do that, and you can do that and probably go to heaven. But you're not going to get in that Shekinah glory. You're not going to get in that cloud where the presence of God is, where that well is just bubbling up inside of you and the Spirit of the Lord is flowing out. All right, I'm going to wrap this up. That was only my first point. Obedience. Drawing near is where it begins. But without obedience, it doesn't matter if you've heard from God or not. Again, Alex's life wasn't saved because he just heard. It's because he obeyed. It's because he obeyed. Obedience brought the miracle after hearing from God. Same thing in your life. We hear from God, we think we're good. I've heard from God. Man, I'm excited. Think life's going good. I'm excited. But then we don't walk in obedience, so we never see the miracle. Then we get mad at God. God, you promised me this, and you did this, and you did this. And the Holy Spirit sat there going, yeah, but you didn't obey. So you're not going to get it. And all throughout Scripture, you see obedience brings the miracle. Obedience brings the life-changing obedience. Elisha told Naaman, go dip yourself in the Jordan. Naaman had leprosy. He would have. When did he get healed? There's a lot of controversy here. But it was after he had done what God had said, or what Elisha said. After obedience, he was healed. Jesus told the crippled man, take up your mat and then walk. Take up your mat and walk. John and Peter looked at the man and said, look at me. Take my hand. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. See, there's an obedience that we have to walk in if we want to get into the blessings that God has for us in hearing for ourselves. Those people who went out and heard Jesus outside of Samaria, they heard, they accepted. That obedience, they accepted it for what it is. I'm going to close with what I kind of started off with. You don't know what you don't know. But God does. And in this generation, church, come on. We don't have to have a huge light from heaven, or we don't even have to have a prophecy spoken out right now. I believe this is prophetic. We're living in times that we need to hear from the Lord, that we need to be able to be directed by God. If it happens in San Bernardino, yeah. If it happens there in California, why in the world won't it happen in Springfield, Missouri? Derek works with a Muslim, Islam. I'm telling you, if God ever tells you, you leave Carlisle, you leave Carlisle. If the Lord ever tells you to get away from that house, you get away from that house. If the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you act in obedience, and then you'll see a miracle. Don't wait till it's too late. Be in a place, church, where you can hear from the Lord. Stand with me. We need Almighty God directing us today. From the school, young school children, to the grandparents in here. We need to hear from the Lord. And it's time we quit cowarding like the people in Israel and say, I'm going and I'm listening. I'm going to draw and I'm going to be obedient. And I believe God's going to do great things in this church. I believe that this church is going to be a light in this generation. I believe that God is going to speak truth from this church. And I'm not just saying right here. I mean at Carlisle. Out working on a line. Out working, putting sprinkler systems in the schoolhouses, driving a truck, taking stuff into a store, out at Silver Dollar City. The light is going to be shining out of the men and women of this church. I believe that. Father God, right now, all across this place, we praise you. We worship you. We know that you are drawing, you are wanting a people to draw near to you so that you can draw near to them. God, and to walk in obedience to your word. Father, I praise you for your power. I praise you for your spirit. I praise you for that water, that spirit that's inside of us like a well that's sprinkling up and out of us, Father, to be a light in the dark world, to be water in waterless places, to be the water in a desert land, God. I praise you that your hand of protection is on this church. I praise you that your hand of protection is on your people, and you are going to do great things in these last days, God, by the power of Jesus Christ. We thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.